I just want to let you know that I believe with a full heart, and we've already seen some things that God is doing. And the things that He's doing are amazing. And He is truly rolling back darkness. And I believe this, and I believe that we're going to have some real breakthroughs for a lot of things that people are praying about. I've already talked with somebody who was praying about three different things over their family, and all three of those things, they've had a real breakthrough. So I want you to be encouraged tonight. We're continuing with our Faith Life series. We've been studying not just the facts and the fundamentals of our faith, what it means to be saved. There's so many more provisions that people just don't even realize, facets that there are to our faith and what salvation brings. And so tonight we are at Ephesians chapter 6. And I've used verse 13 for our text tonight. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor, so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will be standing firm. I just kind of see, you know, if there was a general who came in and said, hey, guys, we got this. I just need you to stand firm. No matter what happens, just keep standing firm. And the smoke comes and the fire from the enemy and everything happens. But when the smoke clears, there's signs of surrender on the other side. And you need to remember that the enemy is not all powerful, that the enemy is already defeated, and that everything he tells you is a lie. And he even came, we know this, to Eve with the appearance, just taking bits and pieces but adding to it, because his main weapon is doubt, and then doubt gets us caught up into fear. And we don't want to do that tonight. What would it be like, let's just say, that you got married and you have your little piece of paper or your, you know, wedding picture or whatever, and you're like, hey, I'm married, right? And so you just are so excited about being married. And after you're married, you walk outside and your new husband goes, okay, well, when will I see you next? And you're like, oh, okay, well, let's look at our calendars. Yeah, Pat's looking at me like, what planet did you just come from? Right? Wouldn't that be the same thing? But here's the deal. Some people have salvation and that's all it means to them. Hey, went to an altar, got saved, I'm done. God, I'll call you when I can't handle it anymore. I'll call you when I don't need to be in control. If I get in over my head, I was laughing today on the phone with someone because we were talking about this very thing, and I said, here's the deal. It's like I'm saying to God, listen, you just take a rest. You have so much work, and I'll let you know when I need you. Would that be so foolish? But it's the same way, because our relationship with Him is not bound on one thing. It's not bound on a love commitment that, okay, we love each other. It is a truly day-by-day interpersonal relationship that He wants us to have. And I want you to know that our battles aren't just target practice. They're preparing us for something, and every time we grow and mature, we're shooting more accurately. And you don't have to see the target, because faith says we don't walk by sight. But you can trust that when you keep trusting the Lord and you keep doing His things His way, you're going to be shooting accurately, because no matter how your weapon goes, there's the Holy Spirit that takes it and hones it in right where it needs to go. So all of this that we've been studying, and in Ephesians He comes in, and in the first three chapters, He talks about the wealth of the believer, not just the wealth, but He's also letting us know that there's a position that we're seated with Christ. Then in the next 2.5 chapters, He's talking about the walk of the believer, and that is our position. Now we're no longer seated, but we're walking. And now moving into chapter 6, He's going to talk about the warfare of the believer. And I don't want that to freak you out, because really what He's saying is you just need to stand. It's the very thing I've just described to you. Does it mean that we're not in a battle? No. But we need to choose which battle that we're going to fight. Because the enemy wants to get us in a flesh battle, and God wants us to stay focused on the things of the Spirit. So let's talk first about finally, when it says, finally, my brothers. In Ephesians 6:10, it says, finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So finally, after all this teaching, so far he said, in the light of all that God's done for us, in the light of the glorious standing you have as a child of God, in the light of his great plan for all the ages that God has made us a part of, like we're living right now at this time for a specific reason, in the light of the plan for Christian maturity and growth he gives to us, in the light of the conduct God calls every believer to live, in the light of the filling of the Spirit and our walk in the Spirit, in light of all this, there's a battle to fight in the Christian life. I want to encourage you tonight. I believe many people right now are starting to feel a tug to go deeper, and it's kind of, what is that? But I want to tell you what that is. God is calling us because there's going to be deeper battles that need to be fought because darkness is getting darker. That's not to freak you out, because no matter what your light is, the darker it gets, the brighter your light's going to be. So any little thing you do is going to be significant. But I want you to understand that I really believe that we have to be focused on the fact that we're learning the benefits that we exercise when we're in relationship with Jesus. And it's not just that I have a Bible in my house. Is that the Bible is alive and living inside of me, and I understand it. So if you're starting to feel that pull, there's something to this. Go with that. Go with that. Because God is wanting to implement something powerful in your life. I want to just read to you real quickly the six scriptures that I found in the Bible that start out with finally. Because what does finally mean? There's nothing left. Okay, this is the end of it. So finally, 2 Corinthians 13:11 says, finally, brothers, goodbye. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love will be with you. And we've already read Ephesians 6:10. Philippians 3:1, finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it's safe. In other words, he's saying, the more you keep hearing these same things, it doesn't bore me to do it, but it's good for you to continue to hear it. So really what he's saying is, congratulations, everybody who's showing up on Wednesday night, because you're getting more of the word, and it's going to be to your benefit. 2 Thessalonians 3:1, finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is in you. 1 Peter 3:6, finally, all be of one mind, having compassion on one another. Love as brothers. Be pitiful, in other words, humble, and be courteous. So he's letting us know this is the end of those things. So now that we've come through this training period, now that we've studied about the authority and the place of the husband and the wife and the children, he's done everything in order. He's told us how to clean out our hearts, which is really the place where the weapon, the power lies within us. But tonight, here's something I want you to know. Satan's weapon is lies, and his target is your mind. That's his weapon. He has no power unless you and I get in agreement with what he says. Now, you say, well, I've seen these people that are scared. Yeah, if you don't have the Lord, you should be scared, because there is no protection. You're out on your own, okay? And that's a scary place to be. I do believe that there's a place where we can believe for other people. But guys, I can't make their choices for them. And so there's things that people do where they open doors, and let me explain that. When people get involved in things that are not of God, there's a place where they go and they willingly choose. I just feel like there's two doors before us every day. Robert Frost said two paths in the woods. But here's the thing. We're going to choose which door we're going to go in. And so he's telling you to stand firm because God wants to help you in some situations. So how can I be prepared for battle? Let's talk about these. There are six things. Number one, I need to realize that my focus has to be on God. So practically, Gay, do I need to, like, you know, have a little thing hanging off my head, like those little eye doctor things that has a picture of Jesus? Is this how? No, that's not how you're focused. We are focused on him by prayer and by praise. Prayer is a general thing. The word supplication means to hit it individually. So in other words, this morning I was thinking about this and I was driving, and I was like, now, God, I'm fixing to supplicate on a couple of things. And it was like we both just laughed. Like, I needed to define it to him. But I was like, this is specific. I need to supplicate now. But listen, in my head, he already knows what I'm thinking. And I want to make this clear. The enemy cannot know your thoughts. He is not omnipresent. He can't be inside of you. But let me just tell you, well, how does he know those things? Let me do this. Okay, Pat, she just came up to me and she said, Gay, I went out in the parking lot and your car's on fire. Did I say anything to her? Did I? What does she know? Fear. I'm panicked, right? So there's things that we do that are going to show the enemy. That's why I think that he's telling us in these scriptures, be calm, be peaceable, right? Don't do the freak out, do the seek out. And there's other things that happen. You know, the enemy can see when you're attracted to someone and you shouldn't be. He sees that flirtation. He sees those things. He sees and he knows the things that we're doing because our actions are telling off on us as well as our words. So we need to stay, I need to realize that I need to be in contact with God because his victory is already won. The second thing is we need to just face it. I see that Jesus in Matthew 4 did not say, oh, there's Satan. I'm just going to avoid him at all cost. He's like, hey, there's Satan. And the word, if you read it in Matthew, says that it was the Spirit that led him into the wilderness. Well, why would the Spirit do that? Because the Spirit of God wants to lead us into situations where God himself answers and nobody can take that from you. I was sharing with somebody on the phone earlier today and they were telling me some situations and things that they don't understand about really religion because people are trying to tell us about religion and I have a relationship. And that's what I was saying. I said, you know, you're talking about something that is written in books, that you want an intellect on it. I'm telling you that the Bible goes beyond your intellect and can actually explain things. It's just like, you know, what's that thing? You know, mind-blowing, some of the things that he shares. But people want it intellectual so that it's palatable and everybody agrees with it. Well, it's not going to be that way. So when they were talking about specifically being filled with the Spirit, and I believe we have the Spirit when we come to Christ, he's left the Comforter, he dwells in us, we're the temple of the Holy Spirit, I believe this. But there is the evidence of the Holy Spirit by speaking in tongues, and this is specifically what they were talking about. And I said, look, all I can tell you is this. You cannot take away from me my experiences when I have been desperate and I didn't have a word and I didn't know what to say and I didn't have anything, but when I touch God, because this person had an experience where there was a parent who had taken them and used religion like a drug, just used it as addiction. You know, let's just do it all religiously. That's wrong. I'm talking about loving and serving God and having a real relationship with him. Because when I'm in relationship with God, I can face the enemy. I don't have to run from him. But there's two things that we need to know about that. One is that when I face him, there's an endurance, okay? Now, I'm running a race. He says when we run the race, he's building our endurance. Well, Tiffany, you know, she runs these half marathons and all this stuff. But she didn't get out there the first day and say, hey, I'm going to run a marathon today and, you know, get on her little, you know, jogging stuff, head out the door. Because what would have happened was that that would have crushed her. Her body is not ready for it, or she could still be going a month later. You see what I'm saying? But when we take those things, there's an endurance that he's building up in us because life is a race. I run the race. But it's not a competition. It's a completion. He wants to be bringing endurance to me to complete what he's put inside of me so that I will mature and grow up on earth. Let me just free some of you up. You're never going to have all the answers here. We're always going to be learning. But there are going to be people who are religious and try to make you think that here's what the answers are. Can I just be honest and tell you that your answer may be different than mine, but it's from the same God? And here's what I mean by that. When we face it, there's going to be times when he's going to tell us, address it or be silent. Because he knows us. He knows what's going to pull us in. The enemy sees if we're argumentative people, he'll push the button. The enemy also sees if we're people who are afraid. When we go to battle as Christians, I'm not wearing camouflage because I want to hide. I'm wearing camouflage because I want to fool the enemy. I want him to know, bam, you don't even know where this is coming from, dude, because I am trusting the Lord and he is taking care of me. So one day, just as an example, you know, you have to know when to say and what not to say. And, you know, I don't think we'd lived here more than 3 years. And we lived over on Starlight, and that's off Glenview. And I was up when I just would wake up and just start praying about 2 or 3 in the morning. And this had happened several nights, but I noticed that there was always a car coming through, and we lived in a cul-de-sac at that time. So I was like, that's kind of weird. Probably somebody coming home from work. So one night, I'm praying in the front room where there's a big picture window, and I notice the car's like really slow, and I'm like, dude, are they casing this neighborhood? You know, what's the story here? So I got up, and I was watching them, and then I could see in this van, there were those windows on the side that were covered, and you could see somebody going up and down like this, and the van was going really slow. Well, that didn't freak me out because I've seen a lot of weird stuff, but I knew what was going on, right? And then when they would get so far in, they would turn the lights off when they would go through the back of the cul-de-sac and then turn them on about the time they got to our house. We were like 3 houses from the end of the street. So I thought, I'm going to watch this, right? So I figured out the pattern and when it was happening. So this is funny, though, because we're different, right? But to me, to face it, I would just stand there and hold my hands out and pray over it in the name of Jesus, you know, and whatever. So I told Steve, I was like, so I woke him up and said, I want you to see this, because he's like, gay, you know. No, really. So I woke him up. He went in the window. He saw the same thing I saw. And there were people who were writing. They had tablets, and they'd be writing as these people were driving through. And a car behind the van, and I was with their dome light on. I was like, that's just weird. Getting readings or whatever. So I told Steve, well, here's my husband. Now, we all love Steve, don't we? So I was like, Steve, they're there in the cul-de-sac. He's like, I'm not scared of them. And he goes barreling outside. I'm like, you are in your underwear. he's standing like this in the middle of the front yard, like, dare you? I mean, he's doing this. Come on. You know, and I'm like, and thank God there was no cell phone cameras, because, like, he could probably be arrested for exposure or something, you know, being in his underwear on the front lawn. But that's just how, you know what I'm saying? We're different. But God is telling us you're not a wimp if you just keep your mouth closed sometimes in adversity. But we also don't need to be afraid to be the person who confronts something if the Spirit of God is leading us, because we're all at different levels. Now, that brings me to number 3. We need to decide and determine not only if we need to be silent or use our voice or if we need to do something or if we just need to be quiet and serve. Not only that, but there's two parts of this that we need to determine before we go into a battle. Number one is there's a darkness. There is a demonic spiritual attack. And when I say that, it seems like people cling to that and hear that more than they do the power of God. There's something that where people glorify and they almost give more credit to the enemy. And some people, they can blame sin. They can blame every contact, every conflict and every problem on demons they believe that need to be cast out. But the truth is that Paul tells us in Romans 6 that Christians, we are waging a war against sin in our own lives. So basically what I'm getting from that is you keep your nose clean, I got you. You want to get involved in that stuff? The door will open. Anybody in here as tired as I am of people trying to get you caught up in drama? Right. Let's be honest tonight. Really help me out with this. Anybody in here find drama comforting and something you look forward to? Anybody? Okay. Then why do you think the world is trying to get us caught up in that? Because there's a spirit of unrest, of anger, of unbridled passion that is coming when you're not serving the Lord, when you're not looking out for Him. Those things fuel that spirit in you, and it has no boundaries. It doesn't know when to stop because the Lord speaks to us and is like, hey, hold back. And you know that wasn't me, right? Or speak out, and you're like, where in the world did that come from? Because God gives you that power and that discernment. So I need to decide, is this an attack of the enemy? Or is this something that is wrong in the spirit and this whole world? I'm just walking under this darkness because I'm in this world. Are you following me on the two? Because there's two different things. One is where there's sin involved. And that means, let me try to bring that home for you. Let's just say that I'm in a dormitory in college and there are other people who are not serving the Lord, but they're my roommates and they're involved in all kinds of stuff. Well, I need to know that there's probably going to be a lot of activity, a battle there, because my spirit and theirs are in conflict. You may experience it in a job. Somebody you didn't even understand, and all of a sudden they're all over you, and you're like, where did that come from? Right? Because there's the battle of sin. Then there's the things of demonic activity. And you and I have to decide, because as a part of our salvation, I don't have to worry about demonic activity. I need to take authority over it, which brings us to number four, which is what Jesus did. And he spoke to the enemy when he came at him. He spoke out loud to him. He answered him. He wasn't afraid of him. I don't want you to get in dialogue with the enemy in your mind, because that's where he's going to feed your lies. So I'm telling you, there is a power when you hear something in your head. Oh, this is fixing to happen. You're going to lose that. Oh, it doesn't matter. Look what you did. To say out loud, God, I believe in your power. I believe in the redemption of Jesus Christ. There is no sin that I have committed that I have not entrusted to you that you will not cleanse me from, not only from the sin, God, but from any repercussions of that sin, because I'm in the kingdom of light, not darkness. And if you begin to say that out loud, that thing will shut up because you're not listening to it, okay? But here's the deal on that. When we're working in this, I need to address the situation. I need to know, God, I don't want to just speak my words. I need to be speaking your word. Because what Jesus used on the enemy was the word of God. What did he do with Eve? He twisted what God said. Well, didn't he say that if you do this? Didn't he say don't eat of that? She said yes. Wasn't that the truth? But what did he add to it? Well, that's because he doesn't want you to be smarter than him. He knows it. Anytime God's character is assaulted, it's the devil. You can be sure of it. Okay? Now, when he says to speak this, there's a time in you where you might not even know how to speak or what you're saying, but all of a sudden something will just unleash in you. Have you ever had that happen to you, where somebody comes at you and all of a sudden there's just this boldness and you're just out with it and you're like, what just happened? See, this is what I want you to realize. That happens in the flesh, but outside the boundary of the spirit, we're doing harm. You know, well, I'm going to put them in their place. What you're really doing is hurting someone else, and you're hurting yourself because you're operating in darkness. Well, I may have told, some of you may have heard this story and some not, but this was so true. We were in the car in El Segundo, California. It is bumper to bumper traffic, and they actually, it's so bad when factories and things are letting out that they have cops out there in the white gloves doing the traffic in the middle of the street instead of the street lights, the red stoplights. So it's that time of day, and I had to go because we had to take this little girl home. And I've already taken the little girl home, and the kids are in the car, and they're little. Charity's probably in the third, fourth grade, maybe. Liz in kindergarten. And they're sitting there, and we come, and all of a sudden, we get a red light. And they're all like, ugh, and the girls groan. Well, it just came over me, and I said, you know, that's okay. God can whatever. And they're like, no, we're going to be here forever. And something rose up in me because it was like they were challenging the authority of God. And I said, in the name of Jesus, light you change. I would have never said that because I would have, honestly, please hear me, I'd have been afraid it wouldn't happen, and then I'd cause them to doubt. That's how great a faith person I am at times, right? I've scarred them for life. I did that, and it's now they're never going to believe. The light changed. Y'all, I was as shocked as they were. My mouth opened, and I went, and Leah's like, wow. I'm like, yeah, and that's what God can do. You know? And I go home, and I'm telling Stephen, I'm like shaking because I'm like freaked out about it. But there's a time where something comes over us when it's time to say, no, I won't have this. But can I just be honest with you? Why is it that we put up with that when the devil does that kind of stuff to us? But if it's our kids or somebody we love, man, we got the backbone. I'll fight for you, but I won't fight for me. I'll just let him bounce me all over the house. Why do you think those battles are coming to us? Because he's trying to teach us that he wants to do the same thing for us as our Heavenly Father, as we want to do for our kids, and even more. Doesn't that make sense to you? I said to this guy one time, he had, how should I word this? He didn't want to do the things that God wanted him to do. He didn't want to live that kind of a life. And he had a little baby. And so the mom was a Christian, and the daddy was not, and they weren't together, and he lived a very indiscreet lifestyle. And so they wanted the baby to be dedicated, and I said, okay, well, I want to talk to both parents. And so he came in, and, you know, she's crying, you know, she just loves this guy and whatever, and he's like, yeah, that's my baby. I said, okay. I said, well, do you feel any, you know, loyalty to this woman? He's like, yeah, you know, I love her. And she's crying, you know, she said they're not living together, and he's sowing his seed or whatever you want to call it. And so I said to him, I said, well, let me ask you something. If some guy came in and your little baby girl is now 16, and he was like, hey, I love her, I'm going to sleep with her and everybody else I want to too, but she loves me and we're okay, how would you feel about that? He said, I'll kill him. And I didn't use the quote out of the Bible, but I wanted to say, you the man, right? But I said, oh, so it's okay for you to treat her mother like that. And man, I thought that guy was going to come across the desk and let me have it. But you know what? He got really quiet. And I said, I just want you to see, because sometimes when it's somebody else, we can see where they're tripped up, but we can't see it ourselves. And guys, that is what the enemy tries to do. He tries to blind us to things. But here's the beauty. Here's the beauty. You and I can speak to that thing and say, in the name of Jesus, you will not have authority over me. God, your word says that you don't want to give me a spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. Now, Lord, my body's shaking and my head is telling me all kinds of things, but I'm saying it out loud. I want you to hear, God. I do trust you more. I'm talking to you now, God. And before you know it, you're concentrated on him and no longer on the enemy, and that thing leaves. Okay? The fifth thing that I want you to see is that we have to have God's word. It's not in my power, but God's word. Anybody know a scripture that tells me about his word? John 1:1. In the beginning was the word. John 1:14. It's a living, active word. When I'm speaking the word of God, just think about this with me. Because we don't, you know, why is it that you hear Billy Graham and you think, oh, he's, man, that man was so anointed when he spoke. I want you to understand, he's just a man. But when you speak the word of God, you have just as much authority as Billy Graham had. We just let the enemy tell us we don't. Well, you don't deserve it. Okay, I know that. God knows that. But because of Jesus, I'm good. Talk to him. Talk to him. The ticket's been paid. The receipt's with him. Go to him. I am done arguing with you because you're never going to get it. Right? And sometimes I think we have to say those things like that with the word of God so that we know we have his authority, which is one of the things we've already talked about in the facets of faith that is your right, the authority of the believer. Now, I don't go around just going, frog, turn into a prince, boom. You know, I don't do foolish things like that. Now, the light thing was a total God moment because I knew my kids weren't believing. And it just fried me for them to say that. And I know that Vanessa Smith one day, some of you may remember her, she used to be our housekeeper at the church. And she was in Walmart parking lot. She came in from the church and she was completely freaked out. Now, guys, Vanessa used to be a truck driver and she lived in a nudist colony one time. And I don't remember how many, you know, bottles of whatever she used to drink every day, but she was rough, okay? And when the Lord did a work in her life, he really did a work in her life. So she came in one day and she was completely freaked out. She goes, "You are never going to believe what just happened to me." I was like, "What?" She goes, "Well, I was in Walmart parking lot, and I was just going to my car, minding my own business, and these people just started in on me." And she's like, the guy's like, "You parked wrong, and you did something." She's like, excuse me. She said, "I just kept going." The guy would not relent. And she said, after a while, it was just, I recognized they were getting madder and madder. And she said, "You know me, I could have just punched them." But she said, "I just thought, no, I'm not going to do that." And she said, she thought about that thing where the kids were making fun of Paul because he was bald and how the bears came out, you know, and he called. And she said, "I was just thinking, God, you need to protect me." And she said, "Before I knew it," I said, "may a swarm of bees come on you in the name of Jesus." And she said, "Where did that come from?" She said, "All of a sudden, these guys are like, what just happened?" And they're fighting off a swarm of bees. And she's like, and she's freaking out. And she's like, "What just happened?" I said, "Vanessa, whatever the enemy intended, God was protecting you, but you called it in." Guys, please don't go out of here and go to Walmart and just start calling bees down on people, okay? Maybe on a crop, call in the honeybees to cross-pollinate. But, you know, let's just use wisdom. But I want you to understand, she used what she had, but there was an authority that came with it. So with that authority comes responsibility, and she recognized that she was in a situation where she was fighting a demonic spirit. It was not just, oh, these people are involved in sin, or I'm around these guys, and this is escalating. I shared with someone the other day, they're going to open a bingo hall up on Denton Highway, and I was just really upset about that. Because it's going to stay up until 2 in the morning. I was like, come on. Nothing good is going to come out of that because they can carry alcohol in. I was like, guys, nothing good is going to come from that. And they're like, well, you know, the police and what. I said, but here's the problem. They lose control of their senses. They go outside, and the police won't even be called until it's escalated to a place that it's too late. Yes, the police will get there, but, you know, there's a progression to these things. And they're like, oh, you're just whatever, you know, you're an old fogey or whatever. I don't care. The word is clear. Something either has control of you or you have control of it. And this is where we're going to come on down, not just to the word of God, but what we have to do is release it in confidence. I need to know that God is for me, not against me. And the enemy's target is my mind. His weapon are lies. And so I have to fill my mind with the word of God, because the first person he's going to challenge is you. I have to have confidence that God is for me. And he won't stop there. Once you've overcome the enemy and stood up and said, you know what, I'm not taking that bait. I'm not going with that. I will not believe that. Guess what he's going to do? He'll go to somebody close to you and start in on them. Yeah? If you stand up and make a stand, he's going to go after your kids next. He'll go after your spouse. He'll go after your place of work. Guys, it would do some of us good to go and pray over where we work and bless that place. Because we are responsible to take authority over things that come in. And don't look at a person. This is not a flesh and blood battle. This is a battle against principalities and authorities and powers. And I'm not going to do the teaching on which is which, because I don't want you to start naming territories and was that a prince or an imp, or it's irrelevant. It's a defeated enemy. And that's what I want you to focus on. But if I give him more credit, I'll be focused on him and what he can do. I had a lady who, very beautiful Christian, and all of, you know, the enemy had tried to get her through her health. She stood. The enemy tried to get her through her job. She stood. The enemy tried to lie to her about her past, and she stood. Well, then here's what he does. He went after her kids. And she came in and said, this is happening because of something I've done in the past. And I was shocked. And I said, no, that can't. That you are saying that your past sin has more power than the forgiveness of Jesus. Who is he to you? Does he just like have 75% power and you have to peddle the other 25 to come into play? And she's like, no. So she was all good with that. The enemy was defeated. Then her kids got married. And she came in, she said, oh. She said, this spouse has done this. They tell me that their mom is a witch and that they're lighting these candles and they're doing incantations against me because I won't agree to do things and I won't be quiet about the Lord. And she began to freak. I was like, okay, back up. Is he still powerful on the 100%? Or is there a place where the enemy can slip in? And this, guys, is where we have to be confident that our authority is not based on me. It's based on Jesus Christ. And I love this phrase that Charity said when she was speaking Sunday, and she didn't even really recognize what she had said, but I love this phrase. The blood is still wet. We're acting like it's a dried up, dusty place where he died. Guys, the blood is fresh. It's being applied. There is a fountain filled with blood because it's a continual cleansing, a continual place of hope and life. But the question I have to ask myself tonight is, will I master my flesh or will my flesh master me? That's where the battle is. I am not going to get in a fight with the devil. Neither am I going to give him credit for when I mess up that I've done the thing that God can't forgive, because the only thing that's going to separate me from God is my choice. The reason what I should do is run to him when I fail. And what the enemy wants us to do is run from him. And if I stay in agreement with him, I'll find a reason. I want to stay in agreement with God. And here's the difference. If I'm in the battle and I've got a gun and I'm in the battle and I begin to just go after the enemy, all of a sudden I'm on here, click, 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 and nothing's coming out. But if I know who I am and the provision of my salvation, and I understand that every person in the Bible was so imperfect other than Jesus Christ, and I can look at that and say, but God, look what you did with those imperfect people. I just want to be a representative of you. I say right now in the name of Jesus that you're greater in me, that you have given me, God, the authority of heaven because you've gone. I can have this. And before you know it, boom, boom. I'm not clicking. I'm shooting off some big old rounds. You with me? And I'm not talking little baby bullets. I'm talking little things that are going to do damage in the darkness. And when that happens, God's going to get the glory. I'm not going to notch it on my belt. I'm not going to try and figure it out. I'm going to give God the glory because he deserves the glory. So I'm going to yield to peace, and I don't have to answer with intellect. That is a real freeing statement for you. How can I do this practically? Stop trying to do things in your intellect and argue with the enemy. You need the assurance of the Spirit and go to sleep. And if you do, if he comes at you with something you don't understand, let that be the thing that makes you hunger to find the answer in the Bible, because he'll show you the answer and you won't forget it. You know how I know that? Anything that's important, anything that means something to you, you're going to remember. And if you've ever forgotten a password or a code or something that was important and it cost you some time or some money, you never forget that thing. And the thing that happens to you when you seek out the Word of God, you'll still go back to those places and you'll still be able to reference that scripture, because that to you was an access code. That to you was a weapon. That to you was life. And that's how we grow and mature. So let's don't do those things. Let's stay firm. And then next week, what we're going to start on is the actual armor of God. Each one of these is meant to be a separate facet of our faith and our salvation. Remember, salvation is not just an altar. It's not just an experience where you, like a marriage, come in and have a serious covenant sharing time, and then you go home and you leave him here. It is a I'm going with you relationship. We belong to each other. I'm going to answer to you. We're going to have conversations. Now, we may not always agree, but I can tell you, God's the husband who's never wrong. All right? You want to stand with me tonight? Lord, we just thank you tonight for victory. Lauren, why don't you come on down here? Lauren got a negative report from a doctor, and not in a good way. We're going to pray over Lauren. Any of you men that are going to men's retreat, we'd love to pray for you as well. We're going to stand in agreement right now. Amen. Ramona, you have the gift of healing. Would you just come up? Thank you, Shannon. Yes. I'm just going to let them lay hands on you and pray over you. This girl has fought the battle of fear, and she's winning. Look at her face. Okay? This is what it's about. So we're going to stand in agreement tonight. We're going to believe for the men's retreat. We're going to believe for each one of those men to get a special experience with God that they will never, the enemy will never be able to talk them out of. And tonight, Lord, we're just going to cover our nation. We recognize that there is a greater plan at work here to divide God and to break down your word off this nation. But God, as long as we're alive and we have your breath, it's alive and active and it continues to feed and fuel because of what you've done, Jesus. Lord, tonight I surrender myself to be the vessel, God, who will hear your word and speak, God, when you tell me. But Lord, help me to be silent, but always be at peace with whatever you're asking. God, I ask right now that all the drama, all the fear, and all the doubt would be gone off the people of God. Let our minds be secure in this, that he who began the work is faithful to complete it. God, I'm not completed yet, but I'm trusting you for the answers. Lord, tonight we stand in agreement with those, Lord, who are getting reports from doctors. We have seen your hand. We want to see it again. Lord, we give you the glory and the praise. Let the endurance come. I'm going to finish this race, God. And if I get lapped by everybody else, it's okay, because last place is still first place with you. You've just called me to complete this race, God, not to compete it with other people. And Lord, I want to thank you right now for the wisdom that's coming from the people of God, that the word is being planted and it's going to produce a crop. I ask right now, God, that those who are belittling themselves for how little they know, that they'll just plant that seed and watch it grow and take root. And Father, we speak life over our children right now, God, and our children's children, and the place where we work, God. And we thank you right now that whatever darkness is coming in will yield its place to the presence of God. I ask you right now, God, to go in those places and to begin to prepare the way. Go ahead of us, God. Make that crooked way straight. Come behind us, God. Goodness and mercy is following me according to your word, God. And I thank you right now, Lord, that litter patrol is being done by the Holy Ghost. And whatever mess I'm making, I thank you that you're cleaning me, God, and you're preparing me as a vessel of honor, because you've said it, not because of me. God, I come to you tonight, and I'm asking you, Father, to move on behalf of Christian Center. I'm asking you to touch Steve's body, God, tonight, and give him strength, God. Lord, I'm asking you to move by your Spirit, and that you'll bring home, God, not just to this church, but God, to the place that you have for them, for those pastors who are discouraged, that you will bring them what they need. And that, Father, Easter will not just be a time to fill the church and stroke a guilty conscience, but it's going to be a time of planting and rooting, God, that these children that are coming alone, God, are going to see some family members come to know you, God, that whole homes, God, are going to return to you, Lord, and that the Bible no longer will be in a place, God, on a shelf, but it's going to be pumping the blood of Jesus through our hearts, alive and active. We thank you for this tonight, Lord Jesus. We give you praise tonight, God. Move by your Spirit, Lord, that is greater than anything, any power. And we thank you for this, Lord, in Jesus' name. And they all said, amen. There's two doors. Which one are you going to choose? Because that's the one that's going to determine, right? Yeah, door number one, he's number one. That's right. Come on, girl. She's preaching now, y'all. All right, so any special announcements for men's retreat? Anybody? Everybody know what they're going? Oh, offering. I'm so sorry. If you'll just put an offering plate, Angela, you got it. Angela's got the offering plate. Thank you. God bless you.